Board of Education to order at 6 p.m. on Wednesday, January 15, 2025.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Number three, roll call, Grandal here. Aye.
Here.
Idlewild.
Here.
Cherry.
Here.
Gracie.
Here.
Hanson.
Here.
Roman.
Here.
All right, number four, approval of the agenda.
I make a motion.
Motion by Chris.
One second.
Seconded by Kayla. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. Five, consider motion to approve consent agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the regular meeting December 18th, 2024, minutes of the special meeting January 2nd, 2025. General fund vouchers, voids 108250, 108227, which were approved last month. ACHs 242500111 through 242500130 for $57,010.11. Checks 107293, 108259 through 108448 for $451,967.54. Wire transfers 202400033. Through 202400 through 039 for $201,630.87 for a total of $710,608.52.
Motion by Lyle.
I'll second.
I'll second.
Seconded by Kim. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions?
She's going to be in trouble.
Next time. You got to be quicker than this one. Number six, public input. All right. Number seven, correspondence recognition.
I have none. I passed around a couple thank you cards. I think everyone saw them, but other than that, no public recognition or correspondence.
Awesome. Number eight, reports. A committee reports policy curriculum. Now that you have your mic.
That's me. We went tonight before the board meeting at 5:15, and we went over the changes that were made to the policies, and we decided that we'd bring them to the board for approval. It seemed to be okay.
All right. The administrative reports. All right, Mrs. Robinson.
All right. The admin team has continued to meet with Gray about the construction project. We are continuing to tweak plans all the time. We had a suggestion from Clint at Bray that we said, I think we want to keep going in the direction that we're going. And then on second thought, I went back to him and said, okay, let me see what that would look like. So, we're keeping him on his toes. He's earning it all. But our meeting that we had on January 7th, two people from C.D. Smith did join the meeting also, so we're involving the construction management company that we have hired. At the December board meeting, the board approved the 2025-2026 school calendar and resolution to start school before September 1st. I submitted the waiver request to DPI on December 23rd and received the approval the same day. A letter to families and the calendar was sent out last week. February 7th, Krivitz will host a combined in-service with staff from Wasaki and Lena coming to our building. On the agenda is Damian LaCroix, his talk entitled Fight, Finish, and Keep the Faith, Empowerment to Persevere and Prosper Through Tough Times. In the afternoon, we will complete various activities that will encourage physical and mental health for our staff. And then the following is a list of technical corrections to the board policies. These changes are generally grammatical fixes and do not change the essence of the policy or wording, but I have to notify the board of them. So, policy 0152, officers, 0164, meetings, 1421, criminal history, record check and employee self-reporting requirements, 2271, early college credit program, 2440, summer school, 2460, programs for students with disabilities, 3120.04, employment of substitutes, 3121, criminal history check and employee self-reporting requirements, That's the 3,000 level. The other one was the 1,000. And there will be a 4,000. 3140, non-renewal, resignation, and termination. The 4,000 level, support staff for criminal, so 4121, criminal history, record check, and employee self-reporting requirements. 4132, vacancies. 5200, attendance. 5340, student accidents, illness, concussions, and sudden cardiac arrest. 5420, reporting, student progress. 5511, dress and grooming. 5540, the schools and governmental agencies. 5610, suspension and expulsion. 5610.02, in school discipline. 6230, budget hearing. 6320, purchasing. 7540.05, assistive technology and services. 8310, public records. I missed a number here, but lactating employee policy. 9600, staff and student participation in community events. And 9700, relations with non-school affiliated groups. Again, all those policies just had grammatical fixes, things that don't change the essence of the policy.
Whew. Are you done?
I'm done.
All right.
Thank you. Wait, you can wake up now, Mr. Wallen. Did you say, can you repeat that? You're in rare form tonight. Tonight's your meeting.
Mr. Bowen.
Well, and I did want to add, Mrs. Firewall, that it was suggested to me to wear some Bears gear.
I thought you would.
My team is undefeated at Lambeau Field this year. but I decided I would not do that. So.
I was going to congratulate you, but that's okay.
Because I've taken 30 years of tackling here. So. First semester of the 24-25 school year will come to a close on Friday with exams starting tomorrow and running through the end of the day on Friday. It's an important event in the school calendar because it sets the final class rank for seniors, determines athletic eligibility for third quarter, and it's important in rearranging student schedules for second semester. The semester exam attendance incentive was also a very positive influence on our students for first semester. Our attendance has improved significantly and students have been diligent about providing doctor slips. Congratulations goes out to Colton Artke, Brecken Ott, Tammy Mullins, Addison Rayberg, and Evan Orlando for being voted the high school students of the month for the month of December. Congratulations also goes out to Miles Myers and Calvin Coca for being recipients at the middle school level. Also, congratulations goes out to Taryn Tracy, Drake Hansen, and Georgia Bloom for being chosen December's Lunch Bunch students in grades 7 through 12. This award recognizes personality and helpfulness as well as academics. They received a free cousin's lunch and were recognized by their teachers in front of board member Sonny Grazy, Superintendent Mrs. Robinson, and myself. And lastly, we finished our winter MAPS testing in grades 7 through 12 in both the English and math departments. These scores are used by our teachers to gauge the progress our students have made in both areas since September when they were first tested. The students will complete one more round of tests near the end of May to determine how much they have improved in English and in math since the start of the year. Our teachers check this data regularly to help guide their instruction in the classroom.
Awesome, thank you, Mrs. Damon.
We are back in full swing after the holiday break. We started our mid-year literacy and math testing on January 6th. This round of testing was the first time we administered the new science of reading assessment, Ames Web Plus, that assessment. That's for grades 5K through 3. All students who score below the 25th percentile on that assessment will have a formal reading plan put in place. We will continue to use MAP testing for math at all grade levels and for reading in grades 4 through 6, and our testing window ends January 24th. Congratulations to special ed teacher Laura Lesbrunz, who was awarded our elementary school staff member for the month of December. Mrs. Lesbrunz was nominated for her patience and care while teaching her students the skills that they need to succeed. She works hard to meet the needs of every student that enters her classroom. Mrs. Lesbrunz has been a teacher in our district for 20 plus years and is always working to attain the skills she needs to best help her students. Her heart holds so much love and care for all her students that have had the pleasure to be with her. She's a valuable asset to our Cribbets Elementary School.
All right, thank you, Mr. Hoyt.
Yeah, thank you. Taking our preliminary steps into the elementary school. Northern Metal and Roofing was on site Monday, December 30th, to take some core samples of existing roofing and insulation. After reviewing the 16 samples, they suggest leaving the current insulation in place and adding an inch and a half of new insulation along with new cover board. Bray engineers are in the process of preparing bid specification for the new roof, which they expect to have ready for contractors in March. I conducted 3 interviews for the recently vacated part-time custodial position at the elementary school, and I'm requesting the board's approval for one of the candidates tonight. The other 2 candidates have agreed to join our substitute custodian pool, and although it wasn't an easy decision, it was encouraging and absolutely refreshing to have 3 candidates with some relevant experience for the position. And lastly, on Monday, January 13th, Mr. Bauman, Mrs. Robinson, Mr. Russell, and I toured the technical education areas of 3 different schools to gather some ideas and information for the new high school addition. The tours organized by Bray provided us with valuable insight as we design our own tech ed spaces. That's all I have.
Awesome, thank you, Mr. Schramm.
Hey, good evening. As my last major meeting occurred today, I'm applying the final touches to our wireless infrastructure renewal RFP for E-rate financing that I mentioned at the December meeting. The RFP will be released in the next few days, allowing vendors to submit proposals throughout the required 28-day bidding window before proposals can be considered. As we are looking at adding internal digital sign display at the elementary school and the number of digital signs we have is growing, I met with a vendor yesterday to evaluate a solution that will allow me to manage and streamline our current displays centrally and efficiently. So far, the solution seems to be very promising, and I will thoroughly evaluate the product during our trial period over the next couple of weeks. And lastly, the wrestling department purchased new digital score clocks to use for hosted invites. The clocks connect to and can be run from any desktop, laptop, or Chromebook. As they are brand new, we configured and deployed them for use in the middle and high school invites in the last few weeks so we can iron out any bugs before they are heavily used for the youth tournament coming up in a couple of weeks. All I have.
Awesome, thank you. Non-information discussion, a 2023-2024 audit report.
All right, we have Brianna on the phone to do our audit report. Brianna, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. The floor is yours.
Awesome, and they have the slides in front of them?
They do have the slides, and we have and the packets, the actual report.
Sounds good. Just want to know what we're working with here.
Mm-hmm.
As Sarah mentioned, my name is Brianna Olson. I am Senior Manager on the Cribbets School District Audit. I've been working with Sarah for a number of years now. David Minch, who you see on the first page of that slide, is the shareholder on the engagement. He is off hunting somewhere, so you just have me tonight.
All right.
So the next slide is going to be your audit results. So this is kind of summarizing the thinner packet of the 2 packets that you received in the reporting package. We have a clean, unmodified audit opinion on the financials. That means everything that we saw or we look at was materially correct and in line with government accounting standards. There were no compliance findings in relation to the federal single audit testing that we conducted. So the district is subject to a federal single audit due to expending more than $750,000 of federal awards throughout the year. The program that was tested this year was ESSER, which will be the last year that it will be tested. ESSER is done and ending. And there were also no findings for the state side. So when you have a federal single audit, you also have to audit the state grants as well for compliance. And that program that was audited was per pupil aid. So again, no findings there. Any questions in relation to compliance piece of the audit?
Nope.
Okay. So now we move on to the internal control findings. So this is going to be more to do with the day-to-day processes and the reporting package. These are both going to be the same as last year, so nothing new here. The first one is the financial reporting. That just says that Kerber Rose, on behalf of the district, prepares the financial package that you do see in front of you. This is just a very common finding, and it's determined on a cost-benefit basis to the district. which leads me to your next finding, which is the lack of segregation of duties. And this just says that the same people perform the same functions within the office. You don't have the capacity or the size to have multiple people in positions to segregate those duties. So again, a very common finding, especially for a district your size. Any questions there?
Nope.
So then the next slide is going to be just a little bit of information or informative text about your unassigned general fund balance. So you ended the year with $4.8 million, and what this amount represents is essentially the amount of cash that the district would have at the, during 24-25, especially at the very beginning of that school year. So in our opinion, we suggest that a reasonable amount of cash at year end, which would be 6/30 for you guys, would be to have 20-25% of your general fund operating expenditures sitting in that fund balance. Three slides forward, you'll see that you guys are within that. But the reason we recommend it is because of how the school aides flow into the district and how delayed that they are. So 83% of those school aides that we were talking about on the previous slide, they come in after December 1st. So that leaves you from July 1 until December 1 to fund your payroll and any other expenditures with the fund balance that was sitting there, because there are no aides actively coming in until then. On top of that, the property taxes levied don't come until January 1. So again, that just lengthens that amount of time that you need to work with your working capital or your fund balance. You guys don't have an official minimum fund balance policy. So we just kind of benchmark it off of our recommended of 20 to 25, and you guys are within that. We'll touch on that a little bit more in a couple of slides, too. Brings me to the next slide. You guys had budgeted for a $717,000 loss, but your actual performance came in at $102,000 loss. From what I can tell, Sarah, you can shed a little bit more color on this if you'd like, but overall your expenditures came in much lower than you anticipated. Do you know offhand if there was a reason for that?
off the top of my head, no.
Well, I know that there are some summer maintenance projects that, because of the end of the fiscal year being June 30th, if they're being done over the summer, for instance, both gym floors getting redone,
right.
It was not completed by June 30th, so it has to go on the 24-25 fiscal year, where we budgeted it in the 23-24. So it came in less because it didn't hit it there. It's going to hit this year, which then we just had to rebudget that way. But I mean, that's only one. Yep. That's not $600,000 worth, but it is one expense.
Yeah, so you'll see that swing in next year's performance. Okay. Yep, no, so obviously this is a what we consider a positive budget to actual in sense, but with this, we wanted to note to all of our districts this year about the ESSER funding ending. You guys used about half of your ESSER funding towards payroll, at least in 23-24. That's something to be mindful of in your budgeting process, that you no longer have those federal dollars to cover that expense anymore. So then the next slide is just kind of putting that expenditures to unassigned fund balance in a graph form. You can see that the orange bar is your unassigned general fund balance, and the blue bar is your general fund expenditures. Again, we like to see that 20-25% sitting in fund balance of the next year's expenditures. Now, what does that look like percentage-wise? You can flip to the next slide. The district does have what we would consider a very healthy fund balance. So the fact that you guys are spending it down a little bit is certainly not the worst thing. You guys don't really have too much to be concerned with in that respect. It's just something to probably pay attention to. I don't know if you guys plan to keep spending it down or not, but if you do, be mindful of that floor of about 20-25% of unassigned fund balance to the next year's expenditures. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Perfect. And then that brings me to the last slide, which just has mine and Dave's information on it. Should you have any questions, if anything does come up after this, but while I'm still here, does anybody have any questions?
Nope, no questions.
Okay. sounds good. Thank you guys for your time, and I hope you have a good evening.
Thank you, Brianna. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff, for behaving.
Here I retire.
You're going to say it that year, huh?
Then you're going to do that, huh?
Can you repeat that?
B, SkillsUSA presentation.
All right, I'm going to turn it over. Scott, you can introduce. We have one guest in person and another guest on video chat. So.
Good evening. I'm Scott Russell, as you know. I'm a SkillsUSA advisor here at Curvet. Tonight we have a presentation for SkillsUSA from two individuals, one being Marley Novi. She is the state SkillsUSA high school president. She's come here to give a presentation. We have Jake Mim from DPI. He is the state SkillsUSA director. So I'll let you two take it from here.
Awesome. Hi. Like you said, my name is Marley Novi. I'm the SkillsUSA state president. I'm a senior in high school right now, so this is my last year in high school SkillsUSA, and I'm a huge advocate of SkillsUSA and the skilled trades. I was really happy to hear you guys talk about a new technology education center that makes me feel good that I'm here. I don't know, Jake, do you have anything else to say?
No, I'll let you do your presentation, and then I'll talk for a little bit, and just go for it, Marley.
What's in those cookies?
If it would be helpful, I could I can share and share her presentation and cue that up for you if that's helpful.
Actually, I earned my money and I have it ready to go.
Touche.
So I'm here today to present to you about why SkillsUSA, is so important to Wisconsin education. This is a video that I'm going to skip. So, what is SkillsUSA? SkillsUSA is America's leading CTSO, or Career and Technical Student Organization. SkillsUSA encompasses all skilled trades. There are over 110 different competitions nationally. Other CTSOs you might recognize are FFA for agriculture, HOSA for health occupation students, DECA, FBLA, FCCLA. We all work together. These are a couple of pictures that I have taken and I have had friends take from various competitions. I like to say competitions range from cosmetology to construction. I personally competed in prepared speech, and I was able to go to nationals with that competition. Middle school and high school competitions include CO2 Dragster. That's a really popular one specifically for middle school boys, for any of you that might have middle school boys. It's a lot like the Boy Scout Pinewood Derby cars. Other popular ones are robotics, or research and rescue, team engineering, job interview, job skill demonstration, and pin and t-shirt design for the middle schoolers. There's less competitions for middle school students, but there is just enough to start middle schoolers getting excited for technology education and what their high school classes and then their careers have to bring. High school has the most amount of competitions. Cabinet making, diesel equipment technology, welding is one of the most popular in the state. TeamWorks is a group of four students goes and they build this kind of a tiny house structure in a very short amount of time, like less than a day. It's very impressive. Wisconsin actually was able to place first in that 2 years ago, so good, go us. And then there's some other smaller competitions, motorcycle technician, marine technician. A new one this year is aviation maintenance technology. I personally am a student pilot, so I'm a real big advocate for this for anyone that's interested. And then automotive maintenance and cosmetology. All of these things are obviously real careers, and all of these competitions are run by professionals in their field. The cosmetology competition run by cosmetologists. Diesel equipment technology is run by the colleges and by the professionals in their field. We bring the students are working on real semis with real professionals to learn how to get to where they want to be. how to be successful and productive members of society, which is our goal for SkillsUSA, putting our students through this. SkillsUSA boasts our framework. Our framework is made from personal skills, workplace skills, and technical skills grounded in academics. SkillsUSA worked with real professionals to determine the traits that they were looking for in employees and in partners. And these are the traits that they came up with, and these are the traits that we like to promote within SkillsUSA. The integrity, communication, and job-specific skills are all just things that we learn, maybe not necessarily in your average statistics class. You might not be learning as much as you would when you're competing and talking to people and actually learning what the things that you see in the classroom are going to relate to when you're outside of the classroom. This is another picture of our framework. This is typically how it's viewed, just to show how they all interconnect. And then opportunities. Opportunities currently are our regional competitions. These are all hosted at career and technical colleges and even UW Stout, so universities as well. The colleges put these on and hundreds of students go to compete and show off their skills in their school. Those are, I think all of them are left. They all have different ones, with depending on what their specialty program is. Thank you. It was a really quick presentation, but I wanted to leave a lot of time for questions and Mr. Mim. I would just really like to say that SkillsUSA has a place for everyone. Every skill level there is. There are a lot of students that I have seen and I have worked with that are in special education. They have IEPs, they have disabilities, and they have been really able to find a place for themselves in SkillsUSA and make friends. I know at my school, there's a lot of students that don't come from families that have two parents. Their water gets shut off. But in SkillsUSA, they can see more than just the town that they were born in. They can see what opportunities await, whether it's still within Wisconsin or if it's all the way down to Nationals in Atlanta, Georgia. These opportunities don't just come from nowhere. So I'm really glad to see that you guys all have the technology education going, and I'm glad that Scott here has started this. And even our students came up to support as well. So does anybody have any questions for me about SkillsUSA or the benefits of SkillsUSA?
I just want to know what high school do you go to?
I go to Wittenberg-Burnwood.
Okay. You're amazing. Good job.
All right.
No doubt.
Mr. Moon?
Yeah, well, thank you, Marley. Hey, folks, you are witnessing really kind of the full spirit of what SkillsUSA is, right? I have spent 25 years in the classroom. Marley's it, right? This is near and dear to me. So all I can say is that you folks are doing it, right? You added SkillsUSA into your school district. You've got a tech ed teacher that cares. I know you've met with Brent Kindred about your automotive perspectives of future things that you want to do in your automotive areas. Here's the deal. I can boil this down real quick. I'm a teacher of 25 years, and now in this capacity for the last year and a half, I understand the inner workings of how things happen at the Department of Public Instruction. Career and technical education is extremely important in our state. We at SkillsUSA represent one of the six CTSOs that are all of them are intracurricular, meaning you can and should be doing these things during the day. Because it's not just about the skills that you're learning in the classroom, it's about the whole student. It's about who can get up there and talk to adults, fill out an application, be a reputable and respectable employee or future prospect for an employee. And this is where the teacher can hang their hat of saying, those kids, I'm putting my stamp on those kids, because those are SkillsUSA kids. So akin to what FFA is to so many chapters throughout the state, here's the deal. When people go, well, why haven't I heard of SkillsUSA? We have an institutional issue in our state that when we graduate from UW-Stout, UW-Platteville, UW-Oshkosh, SkillsUSA is not an integral piece for those graduates that are coming out. I'm working to change that. SkillsUSA is in, on all 16 campuses throughout our technical colleges, but we are working to build to that capacity. Why? Because this is the answer to the skills gap that we are facing in America, facing in our nation, of having quality individuals who are ready to step up to the plate. So how are you going to fund it, right? Well, there's something going on in the state. I don't know if you've heard that, but Dr. Underley and the work from our department, we put in a request for $9 million ask to help fund CTSOs. So there aren't fees for these kids to be participating and competing in different competitions. I don't want to lay knee deep into that, but here's what the thing is for Crivets. It's local control. You get to choose what you teach in the classroom. You get to choose who you partner with your businesses. You get to choose what CTSOs. You get to choose who you hire in your classroom for your teachers. Those are all your choices. I believe firmly that SkillsUSA is one addition to what's happening. It's an extension of your classroom. It can and should be happening. If you're wondering how you fund it, how do you fund your football team to go to their football games? We shouldn't be having the SkillsUSA have to fundraise to take the bus to their different competitions if it is happening in the schools. These are things of when we talk about size, scope, and quality of your chapters, right? You should be working with business and industry. If they're the ones that are help driving and help fund and maybe fundraise for your different chapters and making those connections in your community. I can't tell you how to do it, but we do have some people to work and support Mr. Russell and his endeavors in this, and I want nothing more to make it thrive. I firmly believe that the state needs to be funding our CTSOs. That is the goal that we are working at through the Department of Public Instruction. But at the end of the day, it has made the governor's budget this year, but we're going to see what's going to happen in a few weeks, right? And we'll know if we have a surplus in July or if we don't to help fund our CTSOs. I don't control that, but I can tell you what you're doing right now and putting Mr. Russell in charge and leading the way for your SkillsUSA chapter. Bravo. Bravo to all of you. Congratulations on your new tech ed space and labs. It's very exciting. And I went through that space involvement. I did a $2.6 million renovation at New Blair's High School when I was there. So if you need some help, Scott, give me a call, and I'm happy to work with you. That's what I'm here to do. And here to support you all, and congratulations. And if there are any questions, I know you've got a packed agenda. Y'all can send me an email. We can talk and take this at another time. But thank you so much for the opportunity to talk with all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you all.
All right.
Thank you
thank
very
you.
Much.
Thank you. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
All right, C, 2025-2026, open enrollment limits for regular and special education.
Okay, the board is required by statute to set open enrollment limits for regular and special education. Excuse me. The board has historically done this by adopting the special education caseload recommendations from DPI and determining regular education open enrollment per grade level, 4K through 12. The information about the special education caseload formulas is in your packet. There's a couple different, there's a packet of it, and then there's a single sheet. The single sheet is applicable. That is what right now Crivets caseloads look like and what we anticipate for having open space in special education. At most grade levels, it would be none because those caseloads are full. That is a calculation done by our director of pupil services, special education, based on, again, current caseloads, looking at for next year, moving them up. But all the board has to do is make the recommendation of adopting the caseload formulas, the DPI recommended caseload formulas to determine space in special ed, not a specific number of students. We're not saying none, we're saying based on caseload recommendations. And then in the past, the district has not limited the number of regular education open enrollment students, and this continues to be the recommendation or the recommended option. Anyone want to discuss it? The special ed side of it is a complicated piece of it, and basically what it is we don't want to overextend our special ed teachers, giving not giving, providing services to students who are open enrolled when our class sizes are full for the students who live within the district. And that's what it's doing, is making it so if we get an open enrolled, a student applying for open enrollment that has a disability, we take a look at the IEP, we take a look at those caseloads, and we say, is there a match? Do we have a place that we can put them in and still offer quality services to all students, the student wanting to come in plus the ones we currently have. And then on the regular ed side, it's a little bit different because we're not at capacity, our grade levels, we can open that up to, you know, anyone who wants to come in. So, questions on any of the open enrollment? Okay. Easy peasy.
Dean, you have a policy update.
The policy updates are in your board packet. It is a little different this time around because it's kind of separated into a couple different groupings of policies. So it's a big policy update. There is a normal policy update of policies that needed to be updated. Most of them are very due to statute. There's a second part of it that all has to do with, it starts on our list at number 39 with the 6110. It all has to do with attaining federal money, federal grants, and how we handle them. That was a special update in addition to our regular update. And again, that is all to be in compliance with statute. And then at the very last one is 6144, and that is investment income. It's an investment policy. It's one that we have not had in the past, and now having the referendum funds and having it sitting in investments, we do need to have a policy on that. Basically, it says we have to follow statutes and that we will report monthly once the money goes into investment accounts. We will report monthly in the financial report what that money has done. So, again, that's why this one's a little bit different. It's kind of piecemeal. There's two different updates. Plus, I had to reach out to Neola asking because I was asked if we had a investment policy. We did not. I had to ask them for that, and then they gave it to me, and then I updated it for what would make sense for us. So, any questions on those lengthy policies? All 46 of them, not 60.
Could you repeat that?
Yeah, that's the theme tonight.
All right. EU referendum bank account at Stevenson National Bank of Trust.
All right, and continuing with that on the referendum and the money behind it. So we have an account at LGIP, which is an investment group where we hold most of our money for capital projects of Fund 49. Is that right? It's all right. Okay, Fund 49. That is where that initial referendum money went. We will then push it to the investment group that we're going with. But at the local bank at Stevenson, we do not have a Fund 49. We don't have a bank account for those capital projects. Statutes say that we have to separate like that referendum money to be held accountable, that it is only being spent on the referendum. It has to sit when we transfer it to then make payments, it has to be in a separate account, so that it is separated from our general fund to show that money, what it was actually being spent on. So we need to open an additional account at Stevenson National Bank that is a capital account. Only board can do that, so we will later be asking for the board to approve opening that capital account at Stevenson.
Good?
Yeah.
We're rolling.
All right, 10, items scheduled for action, A, resignations.
Part-time paraprofessional, Brianna Bevere has tendered her resignation as a part-time paraprofessional. That's redundant.
I'll make the motion.
Motion by Kayla.
I'll second.
Seconded by Sarah. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. B, appointments. One, part-time custodian.
Bev Ruther is recommended for approval as a part-time custodial employee.
I'll make the motion.
Motion by Kim.
Second.
Seconded by Sunny. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. Two, substitute custodial employee.
Tom, do you have both names? I have Devin Hoff.
And Connie was approved
already. Oh, Connie was approved. Yes. Okay, good. All right, just want to make sure I was up on that. Okay, so Devin Hoff is recommended for approval as a substitute custodian.
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Motion by Lyle.
Second.
Seconded by Chris. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. 3, substitute paraprofessional employee.
Jennifer Huff is recommended for approval as a substitute paraprofessional.
I'll make a motion.
Motion by Kayla.
I'll second.
Seconded by Kim. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. Number 4, substitute clerical employee.
Jennifer Huff is recommended for approval as a substitute clerical employee.
I make the motion.
Motion by Chris.
I'll second.
Seconded by Sarah. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. Number 5, substitute food service employee.
Jennifer Huff is recommended for approval as substitute food service employee.
I'll make a motion.
Motion by Kayla.
Second.
Seconded by Chris. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. Number 6, varsity baseball assistant coach.
Jaden Warner is recommended for approval as a varsity baseball assistant coach.
I'll make a motion.
Motion by Kim.
I'll second it.
Seconded by Lyle. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. Number 7, volunteers and chaperones.
A list of volunteers and chaperones is included in your packet. You can choose to approve them individually or as a whole list.
I'll make a motion to adopt a list of chaperones.
I'll second.
Motion by Lyle, seconded by Kim. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. C, 2024-2025 audit report.
2023-2024 audit report. Board is asked to approve the 2023-2024 audit report as given by Kerber Rose, a Kerber Rose employee earlier in the meeting.
I make the motion.
Motion by Chris.
I'll second.
Seconded by Sarah. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. D. 2025-2026 open enrollment limits for regular and special education.
The board is asked to set the open enrollment limits for regular and special education by adopting the special education caseload recommendations from DPI and determining not set a limit on regular education open enrollment per grade level in grades 4K through 12.
I'll make a motion.
Motion by Kayla.
I'll second.
Seconded by Sarah. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. E, NEOLA policy updates.
Board is asked to approve the policy updates as presented earlier in the meeting.
I'll make the motion.
Motion by Sarah.
I'll second.
Seconded by Kim. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. F, referendum bank account at Stevenson National Bank of Trust.
The board is asked to authorize the opening of a capital account at Stevenson National Bank and Trust.
I make the motion.
Motion by Chris.
I'll second.
Seconded by Kayla. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. Alright. Recess to closed session as provided by state statute 19.85(1)(c)(f). Considering employment, promotion, compensation, or performance evaluation data of any public employee over which the governmental body has jurisdiction or exercises responsibility, considering financial, medical, social, or personal histories or disciplinary data of specific persons. A, performance evaluations of one principals and school psychologist, student services director, and B, a custodial employee. Need a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Motion by Sunny. Second?
Second.
Okay, seconded by Chris. Chris, roll call.
Granda?
Yes.
Ide?
Yes.
Heidi Wald? Yes. Terry?
Yes.
Gracie?
Yes.
Hansen?
Yes.
Roman?
Yes.
Alright, we are in closed session at 6:45. Okay, yay. Contract extensions. I need a motion to extend the principal, school psych, student services director, and superintendent contracts by 1 year.
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Sam.
I'll second.
Seconded by Kim. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. B, custodial employee.
I'll make a motion to terminate J. Julian's employment with the Curtis School District.
Motion by Lyle.
I'll second.
Seconded by Kim. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Motion by Kayla. Seconded by Sunny. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. We're adjourned at 7:30.